When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Well, I don't mean to alarm you, but I have some thoughts, and I'm also interested in yours. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. The NHL moving closer to unveiling its return to play plan for the resumption and completion of the 1920 season. We are looking at a 24-team format, which I'm not a fan of, and I'll get to that and how it could potentially affect the Oilers if they decide to go that way. What about Edmonton as a host city? What are some of the players about this think about this? What is their enthusiasm level like? I'm led to believe it's perhaps not high across the board, that they might have some reservations as well about playing through this or trying to resume the season in neutral sites and hub cities and all this kind of thing. So anyway, you are welcome to reach out as we explore these topics. 780-496-0063 is the number to both call and to text. And we will have John Shannon on the show a little bit later on. We're with you until 8 o'clock. I do want to quickly remind you, not a great day for golf today, but the golf courses are open. We want you to hit the links with 630 CHED and the Ranch Golf and Country Club. You can take a friend to golf the ranch. You got to go to the 630 CHED contest page. Look for the details there. You can enter online, and you could win a pair of golf passes to the Ranch Golf and Country Club. Okay, so first of all, I'm sure you've seen it. We touched on it a little bit last night. A 24-team format to finish the season. The teams would be ranked in each conference 1 through 12 based on points percentage. And that's why the Edmonton Oilers are behind the Dallas Stars, even though they have more points. Dallas has played fewer games. They have a better points percentage. They would get the 4 seed. Edmonton would get the 5 seed. And that's significant because the Oilers, in that scenario, and look, we all know this could change in a few hours or by the time we're on the year tomorrow, but this is what's being talked about a lot now. Under that format, the Oilers would be 5th. The top 4 teams would not have to participate in a play-in round to actually get into the postseason. They would do probably a little round robin amongst themselves. They might have the opportunity to alter their seeding. You know, maybe the second team could move up to 1st, the 4th could move up to 3rd, or whatever. They'd do some kind of little mini tournament. But it wouldn't be sudden death games, but it would get them going. So then you'd have 5 against 12, 6 against 11, and so on. So the Oilers in that scenario would play the Chicago Blackhawks in what's being thrown about as probably a best of 5 series to get into the actual 16-team playoffs. Now, the way I understand this, and here's the painful, cruel irony for Oilers fans who have seen the team. I still struggle remembering all the years out of the playoffs. What is it, 12 of the last 13 years out of the playoffs? This scenario is being called a play-in round. So if the Oilers were to be upset by the Chicago Blackhawks, I don't think they would get credit for a playoff appearance, despite having the 12th best points percentage in the National Hockey League and the 9th most points when the season went on pause. So anyway, Chicago would have a chance at the Stanley Cup. The Montreal Canadiens would have a chance at the Stanley Cup. They're 12th in the East. Guys and gals, they're 500. They have 71 points in 71 games, which we know in this day and age in the National Hockey League is not very good. Now, you're getting Montreal in, you're getting Chicago in. Maybe the NHL is thinking, hey, it wouldn't be so bad to get these big market original 6 teams into these playoff series. But 2 teams that clearly were not going to make the postseason. Now, it would be a long road to the Stanley Cup for teams like Montreal and Chicago, but it would be the same road that the Oilers would have to go on because they'd have to win that extra play-in round. I often reference the site Sports Club Stats on this show. That's the one that does all the calculations and projections. And at the conclusion of every night of action in the NHL, we'll do millions of simulations of the remaining schedule and calculate playoff chances out of that. Well, Dave Campbell actually did the work today, the producer of the show, and sent me this note. According to Sports Club stats, Chicago's playoff chances, 2.6%. Montreal's zero. And they would have a chance to participate in this little tournament. I would be fine with expanding it to 10 if you're going to go straight to the playoffs, 10 from each conference. And then you could have spots 7 through 10 playoff to get in and be in the 8 actual playoff teams for that side of the draw. Right now, it doesn't appear that that is what the NHL is going to do. So, and look, we're in Edmonton, so we're being Oilers-centric here. This is not a format that benefits the Oilers. Hey, if they were 12th, I guess it would, because at least they would have a shot. If it was the divisional format, they were second in the Pacific Division, so that might have given them a little advantage if they'd seeded teams that way. But it looks like they're just going to go with the conference format. So there is one little thought there and why I'm not a fan of having 24 teams and going straight to, you know, basically a playoff format, even if you don't consider that first little mini round actual playoffs. This texter says, read the 1 year the Oilers make the playoffs and it's down the drain. Well, I don't know if the whole season's going to be down the drain, but it could be a little more winding road for the Oilers to get as deep as they would like. So one little thought there. And, you know, again, I think teams like Montreal or Chicago don't belong in the tournament. And I feel like I'd be saying the same thing if it was the Oilers in that situation. I mean, there's 15 teams in one conference and 16 in the other. If you're 12th, you haven't done that well. And sure, if there was between 10 and 13 games left in the season, depending on who you were, but we've kind of ironed it out who the better teams were and who the weaker teams were. Montreal and Chicago don't belong in the postseason. And again, and here's the thing for the Oilers. So all of a sudden you're coming back and we're looking now. I mean, there's some optimism around maybe a training camp in early July. So maybe it's late July, early August when they start playing the games. And you come back and here's the thing that would worry me about that matchup for the Oilers. That you have some battle seasoned players in terms of their playoff experience, and Chicago is, I guess it would be Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Boston for the best franchise of the last 10 years, LA too, though they've dropped off the last couple of years. So you have these experienced players who are coming back and get to go right into the playoffs. And you have an Oilers team that doesn't have as much postseason experience. You know, would that hurt the Oilers? And that's another thing I want to bring up here. In my mind, this whatever happens on paper is going to be a continuation of the 1920 series, 1920 season. You know, on paper it'll be the conclusion to it. They want to give out the Stanley Cup, but I think any trends or performances that we had seen happening, you kind of can't really refer to those anymore. I mean, that it becomes, in my mind, last year. And this is really a restart. These are teams coming back after basically having an off season. I mean, if they come back in July and the games start, let's just say August 1st for argument's sake. You know, that's probably maybe a realistic projection at this time. Let's say the games start August 1st. Well, the Oilers' penalty killing is second in the NHL. You all know that's the biggest turnaround for the Oilers this season. They went from the second worst penalty killing to the second best. They've gone from losing games specifically because of their penalty kill to sometimes winning games in large part because their penalty kill has been so good. What does that mean? I mean, yeah, from March 11th when they last played Winnipeg to a game that would have been on March 13th against the New York Islanders, well, that means something to have that momentum with that penalty kill and to have accomplished that and to keep rolling with it. Coming back August 1st, what does that mean? Do we know the Oilers' penalty kill is still going to be that good? I mean, I think maybe with the power play, maybe that's a different story because of the firepower they have on there and the pure offensive ability. Is the Oilers' penalty kill still going to be that good? You know, is Mike Smith going to be able to pick up where he left off? Now, this goes for other teams as well, and maybe there are some advantages for the Oilers. You know, Oscar Klefbom missed some games with the shoulder. He's had some time to rest. Maybe he feels even better. Joachim Nygaard's back from the injury. Mike Green's back from the injury he suffered in his first game as an Oiler, and he's back. But what about a team like the Columbus Blue Jackets that had around half their team out of the lineup this year? All of a sudden, they're back healthy. Carolina gets Dougie Hamilton back healthy. So it's going to be the 19-20 season, but it's not a true continuation of the season because we've gone so long between games. Armswar texting in 780-496-0063. He says, Reed, I get what you're saying, but I think this is actually good for the Oilers. The top four teams will have to jump into a playoff series cold turkey. The Oilers will have some games to warm up. Well, fair comment, and I think that is something to consider. Even if those top four teams play against each other, the stakes are not going to be as high. You know, and here's the thing about seeding the teams. Home ice advantage means nothing because we're going to be playing in neutral sites. And that's another thing that's being thrown around. The teams that the two hub cities are probably not going to get to have their teams play at home. The NHL has brought that up a few times. I don't agree with it, but it's been mentioned a few times. Elliot Friedman has said it on Bob's show. So, like, truly, there's going to be absolutely no home ice advantage. So, Armswar, I get your point. How intense are those seeding games going to be? Is there really a big difference between finishing first or second? If it sounds like they would not reseed the teams after the playoff round. So if you're the first place team, you're playing the eighth or ninth team. You wouldn't get to play the 12th place team if they upset the number five. So, you know, fair comment. And I wonder, too, are we going to have playoff games that kind of look like preseason games when it comes to execution? We know the stakes are going to be higher. We know they're going to be playoff games on the schedule, on the text, on what we're reading online. But are we going to watch these games for a few weeks and be like, oh, timing's off. Ooh, that guy hasn't played in a while. Ooh, was that guy able to work out the way he usually does? Don says, hey, Reed, if the Oilers can't beat Chicago, do they belong in the playoffs? Well, I mean, fair comment, Don. I mean, look, if they set up the format, it's going to be the same for the five seed on the other side. I guess that would be Pittsburgh. Fair enough. My argument is the Chicago really deserve to even have a shot. Len says, hi, Reed, is it 1920 or 2020? Kellen, it is 2020, isn't it? If I said 1920, I meant the 2019-2020 season.
Last I looked, it's 2020.
I could be a century off. I am pretty old-fashioned. This morning, I rode a unicycle around my neighborhood.
Reed Wilkins, time traveler?
I had a top hat, and I had a pocket watch, and I was wearing a monocle. Ooh. And I rode a unicycle around the neighborhood.
Reed Wilkins, it was quite time refreshing. Lord.
I really am a time lord. All right, 780-496-0063 is the number to call or text. I will bring you right back after these messages. Hey, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Inside Sports on 630 Chet, 7 to 8 p.m. every weeknight temporarily. We are usually 6 to 8, Global News Hour at 6. We have a simulcast of that television show from 6 to 7 on 630 Chet as we go through the highly newsworthy event of the global pandemic. Thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. This texter writing in, it is Len, says, hey, Reed, guess who won the Stanley Cup in 1920? The Ottawa Senators defeating the Seattle Metropolitans 3-2. The games were played in Ottawa and Toronto. Seattle didn't get to host any games. So there we go, back 100 years. The Senators will not make it a centennial celebration and win the Stanley Cup this year. I can tell you that for sure. 780-496-0063. It is Jared on the line. Jared, I think this is my regular Jared. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing good. How are you, Reed?
Doing quite well. I'm very happy to hear from you.
Yeah, I just got a couple of comments and then a joke at the end. Okay. I think you're right about one thing with the Chicago Montreal getting in, is that you have to follow the money in terms of those being big hockey markets. And the other thing is, I've often thought that it doesn't look like there's going to be an NBA season this year. There's more likely to be a hockey than NBA. And Gary Bettman is very familiar with the NBA. And I do believe the one reason why they may want to go to this expanded playoff format is if there's no NBA playoffs, it gives the NHL a pretty big platform in the U.S. markets, and to gain maybe a little more of a foothold that they've because they're always competing against the NBA during the Stanley Cup Finals. So I do think that that could possibly be part of the thinking. And then, but the other thing is, I think if they're going to play all these games with no fans and everything, like what does it all mean at the end when the one team wins the Stanley Cup? Like, will it be considered a valid win? Or will it, you know, or is it like just a Stanley Cup with an asterisk beside it?
You know, that's a good point. And here's what I predict would happen. I mean, look, if you win the Stanley Cup, you win the Stanley Cup. You're going to have to play through the same conditions as every other team. But 10, 15 years from now, how many what-if stories are we going to get from players who are now retired? Well, if we wouldn't have had to stay in that hotel, if we would have got this team instead of this, right? That's what I'm curious to see down the road. The teams that got knocked out early or were a high seed and didn't make it through, those are the ones that are going to say, well, that team won, but, you know, we had to deal with this.
But how do you think, like, the players are going to react to playing in front of a 20,000 seat arena with no fans?
Well, I'm going to tell you something, Jared. I've talked to a couple guys I know around the league and a couple of ex-players that I know, and I don't want to make it sound like there's unrest or anything, but it's not universal in the NHLPA that they all want to finish the season and that they all want to finish it the same way. But I mean, I think there are some guys that have some doubts about finishing or doing this plan.
But does the NHLPA have to vote on this?
Yes, there would be some sort of a vote, and I think that they would vote to play. Because, like, look, if there's not TV revenue from the postseason, there's less overall revenue, and that means there's less salaries for the players because they got to put money into escrow so they can split it all properly at the end of the year, right? So it hurts the players' bottom line if the overall hockey revenue isn't the same. Jared, you got to get your joke in here.
Okay, my joke is, I heard a rumor that the NHL owners want to have elephants play on the third pairing and fourth line. Do you want to know why? Just to conserve the salary cap. You want to know why?
Why?
Because they heard that elephants will play for peanuts.
Jared, hope you're doing well, buddy.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
That is Jared with an elephant joke on Inside Sports. John Shannon coming up. We'll talk about the NHL's return to play proposal. And we'll talk about, John is a former TV broadcast executive. What about showing games in empty rinks? How might that change how they're presented on television? We got a request here from Brent to play this track coming back from break. Lay It Down by Rat. What was their big one, Kellen? Round and Round?
Round and Round. This was the other song. One.
Yeah, we were doing that a little more early in the pandemic. We'll still do it. If you have a track you would like to hear coming back from break, preferably something with an energetic guitar intro that doesn't have any naughty language in the first 30 or 40 seconds, we'd be happy to spin that for you. Kellen's got, he has a record player, he has a cassette player, he's got some carts, he's got an 8-track, so we can try to bring you that music in a variety of different ways.
Anything and everything.
We got it. It's pretty good. All right. So it's just some other notes here to touch on. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. The CFL looking at a December Grey Cup as a possibility, hoping to start the season in September. That would be the earliest possible start. I think the CFL might be considering just playing games within the divisions. to cut down on travel. So then if it was an East-West Grey Cup, it would be the first meeting of the season between those two teams. I think that is on the table. The Eskimos made some announcements about people who have bought tickets for the upcoming year. I have a story on that on 630ched.com and more on Baseball Edmonton Incorporated taking over the lease to RE/MAX Field for April of 2020. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show. But I want to go east and welcome John Shannon back to Inside Sports. John, how are things, buddy?
Doing great, Reid. You?
I'm doing very well. Pouring rain here in Edmonton. Absolutely pouring rain. How is it for you there?
I'm not going to tell you how good it is here and the fact that we can golf today and anything like that.
Oh, good. Have you been? Have you played this year?
No, not yet. I played earlier in the year, but not in this country. So, I haven't played it in Ontario. By the way, I think I'm the only listener that actually knows what an 8-track machine is. So I know that you're not old enough to remember 8-track. Sorry, Reid.
Not really. Like, I knew they were out.
Not really, no, yeah.
But
yeah.
When I was a kid, we got cassettes. Like, I often told the story, the first cassette I bought that I was excited about was when Bryan Adams' Reckless came out in, 83 or 84.
Wow.
So I can remember getting that on cassette and being like, yeah, I got a Bryan Adams tape. This is awesome.
Eight track in 1971. That's I had an 8-track machine in 1971. So,
oh wow, I was not quite born, but that's okay. It's good to have you on again. And look, we're wrapping here in the first half hour about the NHL's proposal and some updates here from Twitter. I'll just reference Chris Johnston, our buddy from Sportsnet. He says the NHLPA's executive board is taking a vote on the 2014 return to play format proposal. Vote is ongoing. Results aren't expected until tomorrow. So we're getting there with the NHL.
Right.
The thing here is in this market, John, people want to see the season finished. I don't know if they like the fact that the Oilers would have to engage the Chicago Blackhawks in a little mini play-in round.
Right. And there's probably a very good chance, Reid, that if the Oilers did get to the mini round, they wouldn't do it in Edmonton. There's a good chance that it would be structured so there would absolutely be no home ice advantage to anybody. That's the thought, at least. Now, that may change, but the concept was that in certain cities, the home team would be put somewhere else to play. So I don't know whether that changes with the two hub format as opposed to the four city format. But that was at one point that they were, and really in the end, does it matter? Because there's nobody in the building to cheer for them anyway. So
yeah, there wouldn't really be a home ice advantage, and that's my thing too with those top four seeds playing a potential round robin where they could adjust their seeding. You know, again, does it matter? Like, if you're the number one team, you're going to have to play 8 or 9, and there's no home ice advantage. I don't know. Like, I don't know if there's a perfect format. I just really don't think Montreal and Chicago should be afforded even a difficult road to win the Stanley Cup. And it would be difficult going in as the 12th seed. But I'm kind of like, we've played enough of the regular season to know
except,
they're not playoffs.
Except that, you know, the commissioner has always preferred bracketing. In other words, to be able to predict who you play in the next round, even before the first round starts. Which is something very different than what we've seen in the NHL. That part and the bracketing might actually make it easier after the first round for a team that's a lower seed. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
What is your current sense of Edmonton standing in being one of the two hubs? Vancouver's out there. I've heard, you know, Carolina, Vegas. Someone even mentioned Columbus to me today as a possibility. You know, what's your sense of where Edmonton stands if it came down to a decision?
Well, there are at least 11 cities that have expressed interest in being a hub. And it sounds like that three of those are in Canada: Toronto, Edmonton, Vancouver. With everything that's gone on, I mean, it goes to what your building can do and how you can manage the amount of players and hotels in the downtown area. And obviously there's feeling in Edmonton that that could happen. I think this is anybody's guess, whether it is Vancouver, whether it is Edmonton, whether it is Toronto. Vegas is on that list. I was told today at one point Chicago might even be on that list as a hub city. Again, it goes back to hotels, available ice. Chicago has four practice facilities close by the United Center, which would make it easy. So there are lots of things in place. And then the question becomes is what do you do in the on the off days for your teams? That's something obviously that the Oilers have given a great deal of thought to as far as how to use all the aspects of Rogers Place and even some of the golf courses in the Edmonton area.
Yeah, that was an interesting one as well, that they've looked into sort of the lifestyle that the players would have while they're potentially staying in Edmonton. It's such an interesting time, John, because, you know, you and I, we want to get the latest stories. We want to get as close to accurate as possible. It changes every day in this situation. And, you know, Vegas has been out there because of their hotels and the proximity of the rink. Though I've also had a couple people say to me today that they don't think Vegas has enough ice to maybe accommodate all the teams for practicing. I'm just going to totally spitball something here, John. I wonder if they could even pick three hub cities and two cities host the first two rounds, and then maybe a city like Vegas gets the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final. I don't know. Like, is that totally out to lunch?
It's not, but what the reason, you see, you're using sports logic again, Reed. You got to stop using logic. I mean, the reason you'd think that is so that you could put people in the seats. And since there's no discussion of that, the reality is if they could put the perfect scenario together and do it in Yellowknife and in Whitehorse, that would make the most sense. They would do it because there's nobody going to be in the seats, nobody paying dollars, nobody buying at the concession stands, nobody in the restaurants. There's no, you know, what I would describe as F&B dollars at stake here. What they're trying to do is everything back of house. Are there enough dressing rooms? Are there enough catering areas for the teams? How do the teams practice? What do you do for the teams on the off days? Are the hotels secure? Are they cleaned every day? How many hotels do you have? Those are all the issues. Then the other issue becomes is what do you do if obviously if a team is eliminated from the playoffs, you can leave and go home. But what happens if you're forced, you win your series in theory in three games, and you have to wait for a team who's in a battle in a best of five, and it goes five games. So in theory, you could wait 5 or 6 days for your next series to start. Are you going to be able to go home? Are you going to be able to leave? You know, I mean, these are questions I think that have to be answered. Here's another one. We all think the players are going to be quarantined. What about the referees? Are they going to be quarantined? What about the off-ice officials? Are they going to be quarantined? What about the TV crews? Are they going to be quarantined? I mean, there are so many questions like that have to be answered before any – we can pick the hub cities, but then you have to work through the logistics of all of that.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I think I'm going to, if I ever get to do like a promo or some sort of trailer for the show, I think I'm going to use that. John Shannon says Reed Wilkins is too logical.
I'll tape it. I didn't say you're smart. You're just too logical. You know, you're just too logical, Reed. Come on now. Common sense does not work in sports, Reed. Come on now, man.
I should have learned that by now. John Shannon joining us on Inside Sports. Okay, I got to have some fun with you here because you and I have had some great chats in the past about your broadcast experience and all your TV production experience and all that fun stuff. And I love how you take us behind the scenes a little bit to that. So let's say you're producing an NHL telecast in a arena that will not have fans. Where's the first place you're going to put a camera that you wouldn't have been able to put a camera otherwise?
Well, one of the great things about it, what I would probably do, and I don't want to get too technical because it doesn't make much sense, but what I would be into doing is I would be moving a lot more cameras right to the glass. And there's a piece of in television called the Steadicam. They use it on Monday Night Football. They use it a lot for movies. They use, and what it is, it's a harness that sits on a cameraman's upper body it has a gyroscope in it that it actually keeps it steady, hence the name Steadicam, and it works as a handheld camera. If you could actually take that type of equipment and use it and have the ability, and you can remove seats, you can have the ability of having the cameraman start behind the net and walk around the glass almost to the blue line, certainly to the face-off circle. That to me would provide a lot of context and a lot more feeling that you're much closer to the action. I mean, one of the biggest issues we always have is that with the seats and the people in the seats, we're never close enough to the game. But if you can actually get closer to the game and have a manned camera and the ability to move, then that to me would be a magic and create what I would describe as those wow moments. People would go, wow, look at that move. It happens a lot at Super Bowls, but it doesn't necessarily happen very often during an NHL game, simply because of the proximity of the seats and the proximity of people. But if you could do that and get closer to the game, that would be spectacular for me, because on the other side, Reed, you still want to be able to watch the game and be able to see the puck go in the net. So you can't rewrite the rules of how to cover hockey on television. What you need to be able to do is you need to be able to find a way to get closer to the game and get the viewer that much closer to the game.
Apparently Drex is really excited for his show coming up at 11 o'clock tonight, everybody. But there we go. Okay.
Well, he's another guy that doesn't use any common sense or logic. That's all.
That's a good point. Okay. Well, that's a good transition to my question about sound. So do you think when the NHL hypothetically televises these empty arena games, should they pump some sort of crowd noises? Should they play music during actual gameplay, which they don't do now? What do you think the solution is there?
I think there's enough sound with skates and players and sticks. I think there's enough sound on the in the arena. And then you combine that with play-by-play and color. I think there's enough there already. What I would recommend, though, is, one of the things with no people in the crowd and microphones close to the ice, there's going to be a lot more swearing. You're going to hear a lot more swearing because once you get these guys in the heat of the battle, you're going to get back to, you know, what they always say on the ice to each other and to the referee. So that becomes the real question, is how do you manage that part of it? And what I would actually do is something that has become quite common when it goes to documentaries and movies that have foul language in them. On one channel they have it censored, and on another channel they have it raw. And I would actually do that in this scenario. I would say, listen, if you want to listen to the game without commentators, and you listen to the raw feed, and you listen to all the swearing, it's over here. You've been warned. If you want to keep your kids away, you can go and watch it on this channel over there, and it has play-by-play and color. And you can do that. That's how I would manage the sound, rather than worrying about pumping in a crowd noise or music. The NBA uses music a ton during games in arena because they need it. Because otherwise, it's really boring watching a guy bounce the ball up the court all the time. And hockey's not like that. The speed and the sound of the skates and the sticks has always been good enough in arena.
All right. Well, I find that really interesting, and I think that's probably where we're headed to, where fans will have a choice of what feed to watch. So maybe we start seeing that. I got to read you three text messages quickly before we go. Norman, a combine. One of our tractors has an 8-track. Trucker Rick says, I had a 1968 Dodge. My daughter loved Jan and Dean on 8-track. And another texter says, I still have two working 8-track machines, and I have many 8-track tapes. So there you go, John. At least three listeners know what you're talking about.
Wow. I that's good. That's good. I got to a point where all my 8-tracks were broken, and I didn't know how to fix them. So.
Hey, thanks for checking in. Always love your perspective. Love having a laugh with you. Take care out there, and hopefully we're talking about some actual hockey games down the road here.
Yeah, we got a ways to go, Reed, but I wouldn't be surprised to see us at or see the players at Rogers Place first week in August.
There we go. That is John Shannon checking in tonight on Inside Sports. Thanks to Peter in Wainwright, who says he loves hearing John on the radio. We love having him on. We're back to wrap things up after the break. Hey, that was the Nuge. Don't forget, go to the contest page on 630ched.com. You can enter to win a pair of golf passes to the Ranch Golf and Country Club. Contest page, 630ched.com. As we referenced earlier in the half hour, just to keep you updated, Chris Johnston from Sportsnet has tweeted out, the NHLPA's executive board is taking a vote on the 2014 return to play format proposal. The vote is ongoing and results aren't expected until tomorrow. And we're looking at 24 teams with this play-in round, which would be the Oilers against Chicago, likely in a best of five to then be one of the 16 playoff teams. I don't know if we can sit here and really discuss a perfect format. I'll put it this way. And as John Shannon said, I have to start using less common sense. Sure, many people would think I already do that. But it seems to me this format is more imperfect than other formats. Is that fair, Kellen?
Sure.
It's like, hey, do these jeans make me look fat? No, they just make you look less thin than other ones. That's all. 780-496-0063 to call or text. This texter says, Reed, what is up with the drive-through lineups at Peter's Drive-In?
Yeah, what is up with that?
Is their food actually that good? Never tried it. That is from a texter. It's probably not worth lining up for 2 or 3 hours, quite frankly. But people want to try it, or they already love where it's been. It's already been in Calgary and Red Deer. I ate at Peter's in Red Deer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of one of those people of the belief. Well, maybe I'm the only person of this belief. Maybe I'm not part of a group. I believe a burger is a burger. You know, I don't think there's much variation in hamburgers. So I don't know if the Peter's burger or whatever you get is necessarily going to be like miles better that you have to line up for it. Just my opinion. I thought the milkshake that I had at Peter's in Red Deer was excellent. It was a higher grade milkshake.
Yeah, the milkshakes are good.
And don't, when you order fries, even if you order a small fries, you get basically a bucket of French fries at Peter's. Isn't that their shtick?
That's the whole deal. Yeah. Yeah.
That's part of the deal. Okay. Anyway, I appreciate somebody asking me about that. And this texter says, it's great food, Peter's is. Apparently Yoda texting in tonight. It's great food, Peter's is. That's incredible. Okay, well, I guess tomorrow we'll be talking more about the NHL return to play proposal. Maybe we'll have some more details, something a little more concrete. Maybe we'll have reaction to that. And we'll try to have some fun on Friday night as well. Thanks to John Shannon for joining us. Thanks to you for participating as well. Dave Campbell is the producer of the show. Kellen Kennedy is your studio operator. My name is Reed Wilkins. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you're doing well. Take care.
Six 30 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins, weekdays at 6 on 6:30 Chad.